Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Alchemy First Half 2020 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Mathilde Cucuzza, Investor Relations Manager. Please go ahead, madam.
Good morning, everyone. I am Mathilde Cucuzza, IR of Alchemy. I'm here today with the Chairman, Alessandro Mattiacci, the CEO, Duccio Vitali, and the CFO, Claudio Benasso. Thank you all for joining us for the first half results conference call of Alchemy. Today, we will present 1H 2020 figures. We would like to inform you that the presentation of the result is available on our website in the Investor Relations section. Please note that some of the comments shared on this call will contain forward-looking statements that could differ materially from actual results. Please refer to September 11, 2020 press release. Thank you. I'll now pass the word to the CEO, Duccio Vitali.
Okay, so thank you, Mathilde, and good morning, everyone. So I will start directly from slide six, if you have the document in front of you. So considering the complexity and uncertainty of the context, the first half 2020 signed a positive trend for Alchemy's business. So over the course of H1 2020, in Alchemy, we kept on developing the industrialization of our business model, which started over the course of 2019, in order to generate higher margins and profits. Indeed, despite decreasing revenues on foreign markets, specifically compared to the first half of 2019, and almost constant revenue in Italy, Alchemy recorded a substantial increase in marginality, with an EBITDA higher than the previous year by more than 7%, and a margin improvement of 140 basis points. The improvement in marginality has been achieved without relying on any temporary layoffs nor other public employment benefits. It is instead the effect of the strong monitoring of our main customers, efficiency arising from the industrialization process, and our new go-to-market strategy, which I already explained in the previous calls. H1 2020 EBIT is aligned to 2019, with a slight decrease of less than 1%, while EBIT margin grew of 40 basis points. EBT increased by 3.7% year-on-year due to higher financial charges, +8%, mostly related to foreign exchange fluctuations. In H1 2020, we registered a positive group net income of 0.65 million, with a decrease of 19.5% compared to the previous period, mostly related to higher income taxes. Indeed, the tax rate increased by 11.2%. Over the period, Alchemy also achieved positive cash flow generation, with 3.4 million operating cash flow and substantial improvement of the net financial position, which decreased from 19.2 million on the end of December 2019 to 14.32 million. Our CFO, Benasso, will comment on the details later. So if we enter into the details of the result of H1, we go to slide seven. The group revenues for the first half of 2020 amounted to 37.11 million, compared to 41.67 million in the first half of 2019, with a decrease of 10.9%. The decrease is mainly related to our foreign subsidiaries, which were affected the most by the pandemic due to their predominant exposure to the travel and leisure clients. On the other hand, in Italy, revenues remain stable, substantially stable. And by the way, here we see also the first effects of our, let's say, focus on our top 50 accounts. So in the period, the weight of these top accounts grew from 49% 2019 to 61%, and the average value of these clients grew from 450K to more than 500K. So the effect is mostly related, or the no growth is mostly related to the new business. The positive results was achieved thanks to the good performance of the first quarter of 2020, by the way, and show the resiliency of our go-to-market strategy, which is focused, as I said, on the strong presence of main customers. If we go to the slide eight on EBITDA, So as I said, here we can see the results of our industrialization process focused on marginality, which started last year. So in the first semester of 2020, the EBITDA is equal to 2.93 million, up 7.3% compared to the figures of €2.73 million in the first half of the previous year, mainly thanks to the efficiency deriving from the implementation of the new organization, the new go-to-market strategy focused on top accounts and projects with greater added value. The margin for the first half of 2020 was 7.9%, up by 1.4% compared to the first half of 2019, where we had 6.5% EBITDA margin. Cost of personnel, as we said, almost constant and does not benefit from a reduction related to the use of public temporary layoffs. No other facilities available as they were not necessary given to the full use of the staff in force. As we had no one-off items, the reported EBITDA is equal to the adjusted one. Now we can go to slide 9 and I pass it to Claudio Benasso, our CFO.
Thank you, Duccio. Good morning, everyone. Start from slide 9. Okay, net financial position at the end of June 2020 was 14.3 million euro negative, with an improvement of 4.9 million euro compared to 19.2 million euro negative at December 2019. The positive variation is mainly due to the increase in liquidity on bank accounts of 4.3 million euro, the factoring with recourse relative to one of specific telco clients for 1.6 million euro, decrease in not current bank loans for 0.6 million euro, the increase in current bank loans of for 1.1 million euro, the redetermination of put option value for 2.3 million euro. Gross debt is composed by 13.6 million euro of financial debt, of which 8.3 million euro not current and 3.6 million euro current and 1.6 of factoring debt. 11 million euro of put option deriving from M&A, of which 8.6 million euro not current. 3.5 million euro of financial lease debt due to IFRS 16. Therefore, net financial position is equal to 10.8 million euro without the impact of IFRS 16, while cash and cash equivalents is equal 13.6 million euro. Now, let's have a closer look to net trade working capital dynamics on slide 10. H1 2012, trade working capital shows resilient performance compared to our past periods. The cash absorption for net trade working capital increase, 0.3 million euro, was lower in comparison to H1 2019, about 76% negative, thanks to the better payment terms granted our main clients during the crisis and thanks to the lower revenues. The stock improvement in other current assets drove net working capital inflow in H1 2020. The driver of this improvement has been positive inflows from cash-in of 2019 public financing and of 2019 tax credits. Now let's move to the financial statement on slide 11, 12, and 13. Slide 11, looking at P&L. As previously said by the CEO, H1 2020 revenue decreased by 10.9% compared to H1 2019. Operating costs decreased by 12.2% year-on-year, reducing the impact on revenues by 100 basis points compared to H1 2019. Service costs decreased by 8.6% year-on-year. This efficiency is most achieved thanks to the action taken to internalize some tech activities. Personnel cost is mostly stable, with a decrease of 1.2% compared to H1 2019 due to the rationalization of the new organization, the Italian companies, while there has not been use of any temporary layoffs nor other public employment benefits. These efficiencies generated higher EBITDA margin and higher EBIT margin. Now let's have a look at the balance sheet, slide 12. We have already commented on net financial position and net working capital trend, while shareholder equity increased in the period by 2.5 million euros since the end of 2019. This means a positive plus 7.8%, thanks to the positive result of the period and the decrease of put option debt, as said before. Finally, look at cash flow statement at slide 13. H1 2020 gross cash flow is 3.3 million euros compared to 3 million euros in H1 2019. The decrease year on year is mostly due to the higher not cash item, which more than compensated the lower operating results. H1 2020 cash flow, operating cash flow is 3.4 million euro with an increase of 4.6 million euro year on year. The positive variation is mostly due to lower absorption of net working capital, which you have already commented before. Ordinary capex of the period are 17% lower than 2019. H1 2020 free cash flow is positive for 3.14 million euro, showing a strong improvement compared to 1.9 million euro negative of H1 2019. Total change in cash for the period is 4.3 million euro compared to 3.2 in the H1 2019. Now I give the word back to the CEO Duccio Vitali for some final remarks. Thank you.
Yes, looking ahead, so the perspective for the second half of the year. So we will continue in the process of industrialization of our business model, which is done both at operations level to keep on looking for efficiency, synergies, and let's say increased productivity, and on the go-to-market in order to focus on bigger projects on our top clients. So in the post-COVID-19 scenario, we see our services, the service offered by Alchemy, will continue and will be more and more strategic for our clients. So we expect an increase in the market. So specifically, depending on the evolution of the year, end of this year, but for sure next year in 2021. And we are structuring in order to be ready to capture such a market. Of course, regarding Q4, there's still a lot of uncertainty. So we will continue with a strong focus on our clients, which will give us, some more certainty on the results, but related to the new business that we expect in the next month, there's still a lot of uncertainty. Of course, we will continue monitoring the evolution of the business strictly. And in order, again, as I said, to be ready on our clients and to be ready to capture the new business. So that's it for the presentation description of the results. We can now leave some space for questions.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove your question, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question comes from Gianluca Bertuzzi of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning to everybody, and thank you for taking my question. I have just a question on the guidance. Based on the expectation you have on the second part of the year, and also the positive results you achieved in the first half and the issues you had last year in the second part of the year. Can we consider the guidance you provided a sort of cautious and a floor? And can you maybe elaborate a little bit on the assumption in terms of revenue growth and marginality for second half of this year? Thank you very much.
Yeah. As you said, the guidance are for sure the floor for us. And as I said, Q4 specifically is still very uncertain in terms of new business, that usually for us, Q4 is very strong in terms of new business, and at the moment is very tough for us to give any kind of perspective on that. Let's say we would expect the second half in line with the first half, so revenues slightly decreasing, something like that, just because of the new business, while marginality is still strong. So that's the expectation. And then, as I said, we will continue to monitor the situation and in order to be ready to capture such growth. So at the moment, we have a lot of, on the table, a lot of, let's say, a very rich pipeline, both with current clients, but also with new clients, but it's still there because of the uncertainty. So again, as we said in previous calls, so 2021 will be for sure strong, hopefully, if the situation recovers. For Q4, still a lot of uncertainty. So just to sum up, the guidance anyway is a floor.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. I have two. The first one is on your free cash flow generation in the first half, which was quite strong. I was wondering if you can provide us some indications on net working capital evolution for the full year. Whether you see some elements which are kind of temporary in the first half and going to reverse in the full year, or if you're confident to post some improvement in net financial position full year 20 versus full year 19. And the second question, if I may, is on M&A. Are you seeing any kind of evolution in the environment and maybe some targets becoming available in your market or in some segments you are scouting for?
Okay, so maybe I leave the M&A question in the end to Alessandro. In terms of the free cash flow, so on top of the rationales that Claudio just exposed, basically there are three main let's say elements which I think are important to underline. So the first one is the improvement in marginality, which is of course a positive impact in cash, and we expect this to continue in the second half of the year. The second one is a big part of cash absorption for our business is due to growth. And as I said, we don't expect to grow in terms of top line. So that's another positive effect on cash. The other one, which I think is very important and is related to our clients. So I think we were also penalized at the beginning as all the small, medium cap companies just because of a problem of potential liquidity. But our clients are big clients, which by definition are solid and with whom we have a very, very strong relationship. So in terms of payment terms, we didn't have any problems. So of course, they pay as they always have done, but they pay in time. In some cases, they also anticipated just because of the relationship. So these three major trends will continue. So we expect a good cash generation also in the second half. There was another question regarding the I think the net profit, the net financial position. Let's say, of course, cash will positively impact the net financial position, as I said. And this year there is the payment of a put and call option. So again, here as well, we think we continue we will close the year with a good net financial position. For the M&A question, probably Alessandro, you want to elaborate a bit?
Yes, sure. Thank you. Well, from the M&A question, in this year, there are a lot of small companies suffering with the situation, the market situation. These companies usually are focused on specific competencies, and we have active talks with some of them. I'm talking about companies with competencies in machine learning, in front-end development, and so on. Small companies between 30 and 50 employees, and these kind of companies, they are a strong position on a few clients, and it's facing some financial difficulties. So They are very positive on aggregating with an industrial player like Alchemy and when discussing with some of them. And I think that in the next 6 months, we will have some news regarding this topic.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Gabriele Berti of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for your presentation. Some of my questions were already answered, however, I have two. Looking at clients' breakdown, in 2019, you had 13 Tier 1 clients with an average revenue per client of almost 1.9 million. What's the evolution on this front? So did you see a shift from Tier 2 clients for Tier 1 cluster and so on? Can you elaborate a little bit more? And if you can provide a little bit more color about the mission of the new general manager, Mr. Canturi. Thank you.
Yeah. So regarding the clients, so as I said, the industrialization of the business model for us is twofold. So on one side is operation. And by the way, I will link to this point talking about Mr. Canturi. And the other one is the go-to-market. For the go-to-market, let's say we decided already last year to focus on top 50 accounts, which have the potential to triple our revenues because of the service that we offer and their budget. And so the whole organization has slightly, let's say, move to have a specific focus on those accounts. T1 and T2 is a sort of, less relevant for us difference, meaning that we have a focus on these top 50 accounts. And as I said, the weight of this account moved from 49% to 61%. So just talking about the decrease in revenues is basically on top of the foreign operations, so especially Mexico, but it's due to the new business because on our top accounts we have grown. And another parameter which is very important for us is the average value of this client. We've moved from 450K to 503K. So we have a 50K improvement, which is more than 10%. So that's the specific focus that we're going to have, and we expect this to increase. Regarding Mr. Canturi, so Mr. Canturi is one of the few managers in Italy that brought a company from less than 200 million to more than 1 billion, so which actually led a sort of industrialization process in a big way on a B2B services company. And we have been, chasing him for long. And he started also officially now. And his focus will be in supporting in the industrialization of our business model in terms of specifically of operation. So his role will be to support us in moving company to this phase, to the new one, where we expect to have a bigger presence across all our areas of business in Italy and abroad.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from Christopher Sedentan of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call and well done with the results. Specifically, if you perhaps could give some examples of what you refer to industrialization process, if you could give us a little bit more depth, color on specific lines of products, services, where you are achieving this, maybe one or two examples without necessarily naming the client of how you are achieving this industrialization and margin expansion, and how you see this going forward as well beyond this year. Thank you.
Yes. No, I think that's a key question because, as I said, we are focusing a lot on this process. So broader terms, it means moving from a sort of a boutique company, which we are, where we do very let's say, great effective projects, but every time, to some extent, we start from scratch. So, of course, I'm exaggerating, but this is to some extent. So from this sort of boutique to real industrial group, where you have, let's say, focus on a series of areas which are the synergies among all the different business units, the increase on productivity of the different resources, the replicability of our offering, starting from, let's say, some basic offering, and then, of course, the customization will be an important part, but this topic of replication is going to be very important, and, let's say, an integrated go-to-market, meaning that we, let's say, up until 2018, because 2018, let's say, because the process started last year, we didn't have specific figures with a specific job of, let's say, selling our, let's say, integrated services, but we had more focus on the delivery factories. This started, and now we have, and we will transfer a group of people focused on bringing to the clients the whole value proposition. So these are the topics, and then of course on the operations, synergies, productivity, efficiency. We expect an increase in marginality because of the reduction of the cost of labor, basically on revenues. And then instead on the go-to-market and the focus, we expect an increase on the average value of projects, which means more revenues, but at the same time, more profits. So these are the two focus on the industrialization of our process. And then, of course, we expect bigger and bigger results over the next couple of years, at least, just because we had been, let's say, so now we have a support of Mr. Canturi with specific competencies on this area and with a full-time support with us. So again, this year, also considering, let's say, the specific situation, we have already started to see the first results, but we think this is just the beginning.
So in other words, going forward 2021-22, we could see a further improvement in profitability.
Absolutely. That's going to be our focus. We said, and this is something that with Alessandro, we have been, let's say, our historical shareholders know that. We said, okay, the focus of the first phase is to, let's say, prepare and build up a flawless delivery in different areas, because, by the way, we continue to be the company with the broadest, let's say, span of competencies, which go from the strategic consultancy, technology, data, creativity, design, physical and digital, and so on. So the focus was flawless delivery on one side and taking the market and growing. So that was the focus. No focus whatsoever, let's say, on marginality efficiency, because we wanted to first of all being effective, and second of all taking the market. From now on top of this, because this is going to continue to be important, let's say, objectives for us, we're going to add this focus on efficiency, marginalities, and productivity. So yes, you can expect an increase over the next years.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up by Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, just one follow-up from my side. When we look at your international business, can you elaborate a little bit more on how you see the situation evolving in, let's say, this third quarter, and if your clients are just delaying their marketing digital investments, or if you are experiencing any kind of order cancellation?
Yeah. Let's say the result of H1 for both Spain and Mexico, let's say, has been negative in terms of revenues, just because they are, let's say, their portfolio of clients see many clients in the tourism, hospitality and travel business, which we don't see, by the way, in Italy. So they have, because this is similar, a very strong relationship with their clients. But the point is, just to give an example, one of the biggest client in Mexico is a big hotel chain, Excellence, that of course stopped all the investments, which, by the way, we cover since July. And so this situation is changing. So they have, let's say, these clients have resumed their investments, and so we expect to have a second half for our foreign operation much better than the first half. So this is in terms of figures and let's say in economics. In terms of strategy, still part of the industrialization process is a new model with our foreign operations that so far has been left, quote-unquote, to some extent, very much independent. Then, of course, there was, let's say, as we said, the recipe, so the enabling evolution was the same. With Alessandro, we supported also in collecting the ingredients to enable the mission. Then, of course, all the part of economics and financial was integrated by Claudio. But to some extent, in terms of operation, they were very much independent, just because there's a huge market in Italy and we want to focus as the Italian management on Italy. So now that we have grown up bigger, we have the support also of Mr. Canturi, so we expect to have a higher integration of these operations. And we expect good results also from this operation, both in terms of effectiveness, because of course the quality of delivery in Italy is slightly higher than in those countries, but also in terms of efficiency and synergies at level group.
Thank you.
The next question is from Arturo Lopez of Clear Value Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I have a couple of questions, if I may. The first one is actually regarding your backlog. From what you say, you're clearly prudent on Q4. But as international part is recovering, it seems to me that the guidance could be at least a little bit improved, unless you have some details that you might want to share on what is your current visibility, because it's not clear to me what is actually happening. And the second question regards actually costs. We saw in first half a strong reduction of costs. Perhaps you can give us a little bit more of color in considering whether those reduction in costs are here to stay, or they are actually just mainly a one-off due to the lockdown.
Okay, so in terms of backlog, so our flow results, so the guidance, is strictly related to the expectation on backlog. So we have, a very solid backlog to bring us to the floor. So in general, so we do new business in Q4, but for the time being, there's a lot of uncertainty in Italy, but also in Mexico and in Spain. So we have no confidence to forecast a relevant amount of new business. So that's the reason. So the backlog is very solid. Very, very solid related to the floor, and then of course it's less solid related to the new business and so additional EBITDA. Again, usually we kind of a much better predictability of results at this point of time versus the end of the year, but again this year is very specific. So that's on backlog. Now regarding cost, so one of the things that we did, we internalized some external cost on one side, and we captured some efficiency. So both these two trends will continue over the course of the year and also in the next years. So they are not temporary. By the way, we strengthen in this conversation very often the fact that we did not lay temporary layoffs, we didn't use anything. We could have, of course, one day of rotation layoff is something we could have done, some companies, some competitors did. We didn't, because our most precious, let's say, asset are people, and this is something that it's an investment. So you could consider that as an investment. So that would have been anyway temporary, while all the, let's say, impact on cost that you see are not temporary, but are structural.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Vitale, at this time there are no questions registered, sir.
Okay, so we thank you all very much, and we keep in touch over the next weeks and months. So thank you very much to everybody.
Thank you.